Verse 6 of Matthew 5 says, and this is for our meditation this morning, simply that Jesus says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's what I want to read, and that's what I want to focus on with the help of the Lord today. So in Amos chapter 4, if you'll remember, there was a definitely repetitive pattern when God was speaking to the Jewish nation through Amos. He kept saying things like, and I wrote some of these down. We could read Amos. It's not a very long chapter, but look at the pattern when you get a chance, or maybe you've read this in the past week as your meditation, as you're rereading what the ministering brother reads for the Sunday morning meditation. But basically, God is saying, "I've given you cleanness of teeth. I've given you want of bread. I've destroyed your crops by bringing no rain, and people are thirsting, and they go from one city to another because rain falls on maybe only a part of the land, but the rest, the rain is not falling. And you're dying of thirst. You have to travel to some other city to get that water. The worms are destroying your crops. I've sent blasting and mildew. I've slain some of your men with the sword." And probably one or other two other things that I'm not remembering. But for what purpose? You know, Dushko had an interesting analogy or picture that God was using these events as a megaphone to call the people to get their attention. And what was the message? The message was, "I've done these things, and yet you have not returned unto me." Now, please get this. This is the first time that the people are not, you know, hearing this. This is not the first time they're hearing this message. You can believe, and Scripture bears this out, where God has given them this message, not only the events to grab their attention, but through the prophets saying, "I'm doing this to you because you have not turned to me. You're avoiding me. You're escaping, you're flying away in the wrong direction. These are the reasons I'm doing this." And it comes to the point here then in Amos chapter 4 where God says, "Look, I've been doing these things. I am doing these things. Why? Because I'm calling you to repent. I'm calling you to come to me, and you will not. Therefore, it is time to prepare to meet thy God." That was the message, really, of Amos chapter 4. And it reminded me, first of all, Brother Dushko is ministering to us out of that word, I keep asking myself a question: why is it so hard for me to hear God calling this way? If God is using these events, and no doubt he's using COVID globally as an event, as a megaphone, to call our attention to something. You know, God, you know, 1 Kings chapter 19, right, where Elijah just spent this amazing experience on the mountain where he's bringing in all the prophets of Baal, right? And fire comes down and consumes the ultimate sacrifice, and then the prophets are destroyed, right? That's an amazing victory. And right after that, Jezebel, the queen, says, "You're going to die. You're toast." And Elijah fears. And he runs, far. And were it not for the help of an angel and food and a cruse of water, he wouldn't get very far. But he went far to the mountain of God. And God passes by when Elijah and his servant are in the cave. And the mere act of God passing by, there's a huge wind. And it's rending the rocks and tearing the landscape down. And Scripture says three times, it says this, it says, God was not in the wind. Oh, there's a big earthquake, right? And the rocks were rent asunder and things are falling down. But God was not in the earthquake. Even though God passed by and caused these things to happen, God was not in that event. God causes a fire to come. But the fire is, God is not in the fire. And then comes the still small voice, coming straight from God. It's not, paint the picture that we sometimes focus on the what more than the who, and then we wonder why we can't hear the call of God. Well, that reminded me of another question, and one of the young brothers was up here a few years back, and during closing thought, it was actually Brother Peter Munther, and he asked a very simple question. He asked, why is it so hard for me to realize that I might be spiritually hungry? Or why don't I feel many times spiritually hungry? It's a challenge. Did you ever think about that? Like, in the physical world, if I don't eat, my body sends a signal to my brain that says, you're going to die if you don't eat something. Your body is starting to waste away. I need food. And you feel that hunger pain, right? Well, when we're away from God's word, which is the eternal words of life, that's the nutrition that feeds the inner man, why is the soul not responding in the same way? Many times people going away from God's word, they don't feel spiritually hungry. Why is that? And you know, I thought about that this week. And there are many, many scripture verses that God led me to. Psalm 34 was one. Matthew 5 was one. And I, with the help of the Lord, I wanted to focus on that specific verse that says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. That is, blessed are they that have a craving for righteousness, because they shall be filled, they shall be satisfied. Do you ever wonder how my spiritual appetite is? And why in the spiritual world, it's not the same necessarily as in the physical world, where I definitely feel the pangs of hunger and painful. I remember fasting one time years ago when I was, shortly after I was converted, for 3 days. And let me tell you, you really feel it. Just had water, no bread, nothing, right? Just water for 3 days. And going up the four little steps that led to the opening of the apartment that I was staying at, I got winded. Your body feels it when you don't have that food. But I'm submitting to you that in the spiritual realm, it's a little bit different. And here's why. Spiritually speaking, my soul is constantly being fed, and maybe not with the right stuff. How is the soul being fed? Our soul is not being fed just through a mouth, if the mouth even soul even has a mouth. It's fed through our eyes. Our soul is being fed through our ears. Our soul is being fed something through our senses, if you will. This is how the soul gets fed. And what is coming in to those portals, if you will, we have a physical body, but we are a soul, we are a spirit. And we are receiving something, nutrition, good or bad, from the world, from our senses, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, it's like the world is, you know, I see a lot of people wearing earbuds all the time. It's like the world is constantly putting those earbuds in our ear, and we hear from, you know, the YouTube and the videos and TV and the broadcasts and the social media, and we're constantly being screamed at by the world. And guess what? Most of what the world is telling us is anti-God. Would you not agree? But that's food for the soul. And many of those things might be pleasant to hear, and we feel satisfied, at least temporarily, or the things that we see may be pleasurable. Maybe the motivations that we feel, the motivations that come from the heart, might be feeding the soul and giving us some temporary satisfaction, but it's only temporary. And guess what? Our being is being trained to seek after those things which are pleasurable to our existence. Is it not? Our brain. There's evidence, loved ones, that our brains are being rewired to seek out that which is pleasurable. Years ago in the 1950s, there was some famous psychologists who did an experiment with mice and rodents. They would put them in a maze. They would have food at one end that they could smell. And the rats are pretty, and the mice are pretty easily going through the maze, smelling that food, hitting a lever, and the food pellet comes out, and they're pretty satisfied, right? They'll do that for a little time. Well, then the experiment graduated to something like okay, I'm going to have a maze, and at one end of the maze, there's the bar that they can press to get food. And at the other end of the maze, there's a bar that they can press where every time they press it, the wired electrodes in their brains, the scientists have figured this out, activate pleasure centers in their brain. And I think I've mentioned this before, maybe once or twice, but you probably know what happens, right? This famous experiment where the mice will, once they understand that that lever gives them pleasure every time they press it, they will constantly be pressing that lever. And even though they might feel hungry, they will avoid the lever that gives them the food pellets. And if we would let them, they would continually press that lever of pleasure, and basically until they die. That happened in some of the experiments. Fast forward now 60 years, 2 years ago, Columbia University kind of goes the next step with this experiment. Same kind of experiment. There's a lever there's no lever at all. There's no levers in this maze. They put the rats in the maze or whatever, but the scientists now are able to track the neural paths that are happening in the brains of these rodents. And they might not be doing anything. They might be eating. They might be doing something. They're just living every day. But certain patterns of those neural firings, every time one of those happened, there would be musical notes played. Like if a group of neurons get fired and it's tracked by the computer, a note will play. And a series of those neural firings produces a series of notes. Well, the computer picks an arbitrary neural firing pattern. And there's a whole bunch of experiments like that, but at random, it'll pick a neural firing pattern, some activity that the rat is doing, mundane maybe, perhaps, who knows. But arbitrarily, the computer will pick one, and when those notes are played immediately, because the rat can hear when he does this, the patterns in the brain produce the musical notes, and for one of those patterns, when they hear the musical notes, they are... what happens is they get triggered with a pleasure center activated right after the musical sequence of notes is played. Now the rat, this has happened at random, right? But here's the interesting part of the experiment. Once the rats figure out what activity produces that, and rats don't know about neural firings and patterns and how the brain stem cells work and all that stuff, right? But once they get that pleasure, they feel that pleasure after the music, their brains are they're training themselves to repeat that neural pattern, that behavior that produced those notes that gave them pleasure over and over again. There is evidence, loved ones, that our brains are wired to go after the pleasure of this life. The things that, you know, release those endorphins that make us feel good. And we want to go after those time and time again. And even though they might satisfy our little time for a little bit, temporarily, we keep going after those over and over again because they give us pleasure over and over again. Years ago, we had a camp theme. And the camp theme was perfect love casteth out fear. And I remember that banner so well because it was a picture, you know, light was streaming in a dark room, and in that dark room you could barely see a picture of someone cowering in the corner in the dark. You know, I just gave you a picture that we're almost intravenously fed by the world with all kinds of stuff. The constant drip of distractions, pleasures of this life, noble pursuits, other pursuits, evil pursuits, right? So we might think, you know what, let me disconnect from the world. I'm going to, you know, blind myself to what the world is trying to show me. I'm going to stop my ears to not hear what the world is trying to get me to hear, and I'll just be alone, right? That doesn't work. Why? Because another way the soul is fed is through our own mind, which has fears, doubts, and motivations, evil imaginations, right? Jesus said, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what is that abundance of the heart? It wasn't good things. It was evil things, Right? We quote Romans 3:23 all the time. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It comes short of the image and likeness that God made us to be. But innately, we miss the mark. That's what sin is. And we don't want to meet that mark. We want to go the opposite way. We want to do what we want to do. Right? That's what sin is. We don't want to go toward God. We want to do our own thing. So we have that innate desire. And our mind feeds us those desires. That's feeding our soul. So even if we disconnected from the world, we're still getting our mind feeding us with evil junk. You know, Romans 7, right? The Apostle Paul says this. He writes, you know, he talks about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And at one point, I think in one of the verses, he says, you know what? In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And yet our soul is getting fed by that food in our minds innately. Even if we were to disconnect from the world and be a monk somewhere, if we don't have some direction, if we're not born from above, that is born again by the Spirit, we're not going to have the right direction. And we're still going to be fed evil things, right? So what are the reasons? I wrote down a few reasons. These are not the only reasons. I was just thinking these might be the main ones maybe for me, and perhaps this could resonate for you. What are the reasons that I may not have a healthy spiritual appetite? Well, oh, by the way, I was just looking down. I wanted to make a note of this. Before I go to the reasons, it's kind of an ugly picture, but I'm going to paint it anyway. If you disconnect yourself from the world and you try to go to a dark room, sensory deprived, and you're just feeding off your mind, well, we already said, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, unless I get holy divine direction from above and through his Spirit, I'm born again, that's not going to help, right? We already painted that picture. But when you do that, your soul still needs food. Your body still needs food. And just like in the physical realm, when you don't eat, guess what happens? Like if you go on a fast for 20 days, 30 days, 40 days, like some people have done, guess what happens? Your body eats itself. And that's called catabolism. There's a name for that, right? But what it is, it's cannibalism. Your body has to survive. You're not giving it food, so it's going to eat your muscles. And it's going to, you know, probably take the fat reserves first, but when those are gone, your muscles starts getting eaten up. And those muscles could be organs. And especially the organs that furnish major operations for the survival of the body, those are going to break down. And when that happens, you're going to waste away and you're going to die. And the same thing happens with the soul and spirit. If I continually feed it maybe we'll call it junk food. We might not know it right away. We might still feel satisfied, and we might keep repeating the same behavior and still feel satisfied and satisfied. But you know what? The big picture is we're eating away. We're wasting away. We're destroying our soul. So what are the reasons that I don't have a spiritual appetite? And we talked about some of this, right? We're eating junk food, whether we realize it or not, and whether we're born again or not. The world still wants to inject, intravenously even, through the portals of our eyes and nose and mouth and our senses of touch and smell and taste. It's going to still try to inject its junk food poison, if you will, into our bodies. And thank God that God has given us the portal of his Holy Spirit in our heart so we can get injected with the spiritual food that we really need, that matters the most, that helps us live eternally with him. We're eating junk food, right? The pleasures of this life, the pursuits that I can think up of that would maybe even do the world good, right? But if they're not glorifying God, these are taking me away. This is almost like junk food. I'm going to be satisfied temporarily. I'm going to be filled temporarily, but I'll need to seek that over and over again. So let me avoid junk food, right? as much as possible. Let me avoid junk food. Another reason why you feel hungry physically too, this happens, is if you're exercising and you're exerting yourself, you're using up energy. And your body says, you're going to be hungry. You need some fuel to replace what you just expended, right? And really, it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. You know, God, Jesus and his Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, says, and we like to quote this Ephesians 2 all the time, for by grace are you saved, and not of works, lest any man should, through faith, right, in Christ Jesus, and not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we kind of miss that verse 10, right, that says, for we are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk on them. So I want to paint you this picture, right? You've got a really, really comfortable couch, and you've got the TV turned on, and you've got your bowl of snackies, right? How many of us have not done that physically, right? We enjoy doing that once in a while. But spiritually speaking, we could do the same thing. We could be on that comfortable couch, and we could even tune that TV to the channel where Jesus, the ultimate evangelist, is speaking, by grace you are saved by me through faith. It's not of works, so forget about it. Accept me, and you'll be saved. That's the nature of grace. It's a gift, and I'm giving it to you. But you know what? The great evangelist isn't going to keep repeating that over and over. What's the second part to his message? He's not going to continue to say, you're on the couch of grace, you're okay. Right? No, he's saying, this grace is a free gift, but it's there to empower you to do the things that God intended for you to do, because you are his workmanship. You are in his likeness and image. He wants you to do something. There is work to be done on earth. And he delights in doing that heavenly, divine work through you and through me, brothers and sisters in Christ. Because maybe you are the only one, maybe unique enough to take God's Holy Spirit and to reach someone, to really make a connection with that someone. There's work to be done. It's not just the grace thing. It's the, I am so motivated to do works of love because God gave me this and I didn't deserve it. That's what the evangelist Jesus Christ would be speaking. It's great you're on the couch of grace, but get up, forget that bowl of junkies there, and go out and exert yourself. Because when you do, you're going to have a healthy spiritual appetite. You're going to be hungry for the word of God. You're going to be hungry and thirsty for the righteousness that comes from God and me, Jesus Christ, and our Holy Spirit. You exert yourself, you're going to be hungry. There's one more reason that I thought of that people don't have a spiritual appetite. Have you ever been given some food that you don't like? Or have you tasted some food, maybe in a foreign country, and it's absolutely not only just terribly tasting, but you just lost your appetite. You have now no feeling of eating. Have that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. You know, when the word of God is preached, especially if you hear it and God's making a connection the first time, what's the taste in your mouth? Is it a beautiful, delicious taste? Listen, I remember when God called me at 15. He probably called me before that. I may not have realized it. But God didn't say, you know, Gary, you're on the right track. You're okay. You're doing good. You know, if this is if you're listening to the word of God, and scripture says God commands everywhere to repent. Repent what? Turn away from that path of destruction and turn where? To Jesus Christ, because it's through him and only through him and by him will we meet the Heavenly Father. Sorry, other religions, but that's the case. This is Jesus' own words, right? But if this is the first call, if you're being connected right now with the call of God and saying, and God is calling you, I can guarantee you that you're not going to like what he has to say. Because you're going to feel guilty and you're going to feel condemned. That is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and really part of God's love that says, you know what, if you want to be with me, got to make some changes. And you are not heading down the right path. That is the convicting call of the Holy Spirit. And initially, we think, I don't like the taste of that food. I'm going to push it away. And the more we push away God's word, we're not going to feel that spiritual appetite, right? We're not going to feel hungry. We're going to go after these pleasurable pursuits that temporarily satisfy us and block the big picture that, you know what, we're poisoning our own bodies, right? But forget about that initial taste because you know it's going to be good for you. You know, when I was little, I ate peas. Well, I tried to eat peas. My mom made peas quite often, more often I think should have been made. And I, it's embarrassing to tell you that as a kid, I could not eat peas. If somebody were to force me to, I would gag. If I tried on my own to eat the peas, there would be a gag reflex. I just did not like the taste of peas, that mushiness, right? It was only later, way later in life, as a mature adult, that I realized that, you know, I tasted some fresh peas from the garden. And you know what? These things are beautiful. They're really, they have a beautiful taste and they're good for me. Wow. Who knew? I don't know if it's because it was a can when I was a kid, you know, but I'll call these, you know, that taste that you get in your mouth and your senses when God first calls you and says, you're not right. You need to repent. That's an ugly taste, right? I call those the peas of condemnation, just from my own experience. But I call them peas of condemnation because if you continue hearing the word of God and God moves you to accept Jesus Christ by faith in his son, you're going to experience the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, in Hebrews 12, it says no one likes chastening for the present because it's not joyous, it's grievous. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And let me tell you, that fruit is really, really delicious. So I want to encourage those of you who are maybe hearing the call of God for the first time today, maybe you've heard it for hundreds or thousands of times. Get past that first part. You know you're guilty. That's part of God's love. If he didn't tell you that, he wouldn't be loving you. He would just send you off doing what you want, and then at the latter day, he's going to have the great white throne judgment and say, you know, you're guilty. And I tried to call you, but, you know, you didn't answer. Well, he is calling you, and you didn't answer because you thought it was left a bad taste in your mouth. No, he lets you know that, yes, you're going to feel guilty, but that same call to repentance is going to send you to a place where you can feast on fruit that is delicious, fruit that's peaceable and of joy and meekness and faith and goodness and temperance, right? The fruit of the Spirit. That's a delicious, delicious meal. So get past that bad fruit, that bad taste in your mouth. Those are some of the reasons why we don't have a spiritual appetite, right? We don't exert ourselves to feel hungry spiritually. We eat junk food all the time, and that temporarily satisfies and makes us forget that we really hunger after the word of God. And then initially, we think that's a bad taste in our mouth. Get over it. So, what are some things that can help me develop a healthier spiritual appetite? I already mentioned some of these things. Stop eating junk food. You know, when Jesus says, God does not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. That's what sustains and gives the soul nutrition. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And some of those words might leave a bad taste in your mouth initially, but you know it's good for you. And God will give us the grace to get past that point and understand that I am on the healthy track, right? So let's stop eating that junk food. Take that bowl of snackies away, right? And then the second thing, if you think about that picture of the comfy couch of grace, let's start exerting ourselves, right? As I mentioned before, it's, you know, that grace and salvation by grace, that's only half the picture. Grace is the empowerment that allows us to do the things that God wants us to do because We are made in his image, and he made us for this purpose, that we are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, unto good works, right? Let's exert ourselves spiritually speaking, and God can make sure that you have a spiritual appetite. You're going to feel hungry. And then the last one I thought of is in Hebrews 10, and it seems like we're quoting this a lot, especially with the pandemic and some of the events that are happening in the world today. You know, Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves, right? Be around good, healthy, spiritual eaters. Because you know what, if you join Alcoholics Anonymous or Weight Watchers, right? They used to have those groups, they probably still do, where you can get in a group and you can be inspired and motivated by others who have been through what you've been through and have come through it by the grace of God. So think about those three things, right? Let's get off of junk food and eat the words of Jesus Christ. Let's go out and do our spiritual work. Whatever God empowers us to do, we might not have great legs to go far. We might have arthritis in our hands. We might not even be able to speak. We might be deaf or dumb, right? But we can certainly pray. There's many things that the Holy Spirit can empower us to do, even though physically we might be disabled. But that's not going to give us an excuse. We shouldn't use that as an excuse to evangelize, to call others to repentance, to let the Holy Spirit work through us as a channel, and God will provide the rest because he wants us to make a connection to the world, to other individuals. So stop eating junk food. Eat the words of Jesus Christ. Exert ourselves spiritually. Get off that comfy couch. And believe me, brothers and sisters, I have to confess, I'm guilty of sitting on that comfy couch sometimes. And it's because of you, some of you, have allowed me to realize that I need to get up off my duff and do the work of the Lord. I know it sounds kind of silly, but that's the picture, right? And you are helping me to do that. That's why Hebrews 10 says to provoke one another to love and good works. That's what we're meant to do. And then finally, you know, be around the healthy eaters, right? I have complete joy, sincere joy, to come to church every Sunday because I can meet you all. You can encourage me, and perhaps I can encourage you in some way through the Holy Spirit to build up the church, to help us to be motivated by the right things and disconnect from those intravenous tubes of the world that want to keep injecting us drip by drip with those, you know, noble pursuits and the pleasures and distractions. This is a big thing for the world today. I get so distracted. And you know what? The younger generation right below me, one magnitude more distraction than what I ever experienced. It's a problem. It's a challenge. We need to eat Jesus' words. We need to exercise. That's going to develop spiritual hunger, and we need to be around healthy eaters to receive that encouragement and motivation through the Holy Spirit working in you, brothers and sisters, helping me. I'm very thankful for that. So I wanted to go back to that verse because I want to emphasize one word that we probably never emphasize or maybe not prone to. That verse 6 in Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." They shall be satisfied. And you almost get the impression that Jesus might have been giving the context that it is only they who will be eternally satisfied. Anybody else who's seeking satisfaction from anything else other than righteousness that comes through God and his Son Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit is going to not only be found wanting, you're slowly destroying your body with the poisonous junk food that the world is feeding us. Only they who hunger and thirst after God's righteousness will be satisfied. I know you don't want to hear this sometimes. You might feel you're not hungry. You're doing okay. But let me tell you, if you're not eating Jesus' words, if you didn't yield your heart to God through Christ, if you're not doing his work, you are slowly destroying your soul. And we know where that's bound for. Only they who hunger and thirst after God's righteousness will be filled. And I pray that the grace of God will, you know, empower me to keep on reading God's word, feeding my inner man every day with this food, this nutrition coming from his holy letter, holy scriptures. And may he do the same for you. God bless his word.